Hello to everyone listening. I'm Carmen, and this is part of the interview series for My Horse Heart. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming one of my colleagues, Corinne Dumont. Corinne and I were recently in Arizona, completing our education to become EponoQuest instructors with world-renowned, best-selling author, Linda Kohanov. You can check out my interview with Linda in an earlier post. But today, we're lucky enough to get to hear from Corinne, a passionate, innovative entrepreneur who is joining us from Belgium. Welcome, Corinne.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmen.
Thank you.
And hello, everybody.
Would you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Oh, yes. I am 57. I have two kids of 23 and 19, and they are studying. One is studying in the UK, the other soon. I have been passionate about horses since I was a kid, but due to my very intense professional life, I actually a bit forgot about this passion. There was no space for that, unfortunately. But in the meantime, I was quite happy in my professional life because I after a couple of years, very long number of years in American bank, I started my own business. And I started in 2007 to run organic food supermarket stores. And together with some partners, we actually acquired two stores and we grew the company up to 9 stores today in Belgium.
Wow.
So, yeah. So now I decided it's about time to be in this kind of business only. And I started 2 years ago, I started to reconnect with my passion for horses after having read actually the book, all the books of Linda.
Fantastic. And what was the deciding factor for you to create these organic health food stores?
The deciding factor was, actually it was two things. First, in my career as a banker, I was, getting more and more bored. There were many restructurings and I was lacking completely sense of meaning and purpose. I thought this activity was getting really artificial or superficial. I could not explain it, and so after the 10,000 or I don't know restructuring, I decided that I would leave. And I was lucky enough actually to be made redundant. I made it more or less on purpose, but so that was good because it left me with money to start something. And a long time ago, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I felt that inside, but that I was not confident enough to do it. So this was actually the time to start something, but I didn't know what to do. I had no plan, so I started for some years to continue some consulting business in finance. And then I was also playing golf, and I was very much into competition, so I started to play too much, and I had some health problem, physical problems on my body, and I had to change the way I would, my diet. And as I was always in natural healing techniques, I decided I would heal myself with a new diet, and it worked. And so I was going to this store, and I said, "Oh my God, this is so nice! I will take that over because it was not for sale. Huh? I will take it over because it's so great to prevent some illness problem or some physical problems if you eat better, and I need to share this information with a large number of people. And of course, if you eat qualitative food, it's better because you don't poison or pollute your organism." So that was really the motivator for me to start this business. And this was my, you know, sense of meaning and purpose, that, you know, I wanted to help people to improve their health.
That's amazing. So you walk into this health food store and it's not for sale and you just knew you had to take it over.
Yeah, it was not like this so suddenly, but it was you know, the journey, trying to heal my body, actually, to be able to play golf again. And so it took like 1 year or so before I realized that. But actually, I must say that one day, and actually probably it's because I was getting closer and closer to my body and my intuitions, that suddenly one day I literally woke up in the morning from my bed and I said, oh my God, I have to take this over. Wow. This shop. And it was not for sale because I was seeing the potential. I was seeing what I could do with it. And also I was thinking, you know, I will have a lot of fun with it. It's a complete change and I like that and so on. So yeah, I mean, I called the owner. I was very afraid. I was totally vulnerable. Oh my God, I said, oh, never I will be able to call him and he will say no and so on and so on. So I called him and he said, yeah, well, actually, I'm not, you know, totally close to this idea, but let's meet first. Maybe we can work together. So I went to him and we had a meeting, and then he explained his vision, where he wanted to go from here and what kind of collaboration he was actually potentially seeking. And I said, it's not going to work together. I thought that to myself. I didn't say that bluntly to him. And no, and then I said, well, you know, I will reflect on this and I come back to you. And then when I came back to him, I said, look, it's what I want is really to take it over. And I want to discuss terms if you agree. And he said, yeah, but then there is not one store, but two stores. I said, oh my God, this is too big for me, also financially speaking. But I was an ex-banker, so I knew how to raise funds. And also I found two partners and we ended up taking over the stores and then we grew the company. So it's nice, huh?
That's really nice. And it's such a great story, especially in the context of this interview, because you're really talking about such brave decisions that forced you to be in this vulnerable position. And it was this real drive to follow what you were feeling in your body and in your core was needed to happen in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And I tell you, I mean, I was so afraid and so concerned at the very beginning, I must say, especially when I had to call him. But after that drive was so big that, you know, of course, when he said, well, I have two stores, not one, I said, oh my God, well, how I am going to raise that kind of money, because it was a lot. But the drive was so big that, you know, in the end, I went to the banks and it was a kind of between, you know, a no-brainer, so to speak, because I was not even thinking anymore, it will happen this and that and that. So
wow,
this is how it happened.
That's amazing. So this blog and these interviews are for my horse heart. And it's because I've done my best to kind of talk a little bit about some of my journey following my own heart and done my best to describe what it means to me to have a horse heart, which, you know, for me is kind of embodying a lot of the qualities that I feel are so amazing that horses have, and really embodying that passion and that curiosity and that courage to follow my heart. So what qualities do you feel make up a wholehearted life like that?
I think it's a sense of passion, as you just mentioned. To me, it was really like that. And when you follow your passion, I think the drive is so big that you can actually move like mountains or whatever. I don't know how you would say that. Also, I think it has to do with a kind of sensitivity, I would say. But what I mean by that is really be in tune with your sensations and your body sensations and your feelings, and, you know, daring to trust that, which is not always easy because our rational mind or thinking brain is saying, what do you think? You cannot do this. So it's really, following your, understanding when you have blocks like this, which would prevent you from moving, you know, where it's coming from. And throughout actually all my journey with this company, I had to put myself back into, question when something didn't work in that way or this way. I was actually probably without even knowing doing like what the horses do, go back to, understand the message and then go back to grazing. So, nice. And also this, especially as an entrepreneur, I think you really have to have a lot of curiosity and open mind. And that keeps, you moving.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say that's, I would say other qualities as well. Humility.
Yeah.
Humility. And trying to be authentic. I mean, I say trying because, it requires a lot of self-awareness. I was the leader of the company and there was not that many people actually providing feedback to me. So I had to finding, it all by myself. Because usually people in your team are afraid to give feedback to the leader. Even though I would actually, building a lot of trust among the team, they were not used to that. So it took them time to understand that they could trust me.
That's a big task to gain that trust with people.
Yeah.
And I really like what you said earlier about, how your mind is kind of screaming at you something different. It's really hard to figure out when your brain is telling you something important or when it's just overreacting and panicking because it's not the logical plan.
Yeah, it's difficult actually to sometimes notice the difference between the two, especially in business, I would say. In some way, in this company, I was forced to use a lot, my intuitions while before I didn't have to do that really. And one of the main reasons is because first we didn't have too much money available, so we had to find all kind of creative ideas to do what we were supposed to do and to move on. And also because our IT systems were very basic, and so I could not follow the financials of the company on a real-time basis. So I had basically to run the company with my intuitions. That was unbelievable, yeah. Especially coming from the financial world, it's not easy as a task to do that.
And how did it? I mean, I'm assuming it turned out well.
Yeah, sure. But I was actually feeling, it's like in an environment when you are with a horse, you are feeling the environment, you are feeling the horse sensations, you are in this intersubjective situation. And I was feeling the environment because I knew it, of course, well. I had spent some time in this environment of the company. And so I was feeling when something was not going, right. It was sometimes you make mistakes, of course.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But then that motivation to keep trying and keep going.
Yeah. With a positive mind.
Yeah, for sure. So how does horses come into the picture? Like how did you come across Linda's books and decide that this was what you were going to pursue next?
Yeah, I mean, at some stage I was running the operations side of the business. I was actually fed up. Probably also without knowing, I was very close in two occasions to burnout during my journey in this company, and I was totally exhausted with this running the operations. And so when was it? Yeah, I mean, I was discussing actually with a friend, and I was saying, yeah, you know, I keep having this dream that I want to have a horse with, a horse, and actually many horses with a ranch, and I want to do this, but I don't dare, you know, making changes and so on. And her daughter actually was a rider, and she said, but Corinne, you are speaking to me about horses every on and enough, you know, so why don't you look into this more seriously? And so I started to speak to kind of like several people, even some friends, and a woman actually told me, oh, you should read this book of Linda Kohanov. And so I read the Tao of Equus, and I said, oh my God, this is exactly that. And then I follow on immediately with the power of the herd. And I said, oh my God, this is so much in resonance with the path of a leader in a company. I see so many, you know, so many links that can be made. It's amazing. It's looks very enriching. And so I decided to try. I decided to try. So I tried first one horse coaching in Belgium, because I knew a woman who was doing that. And then I decided to, actually I called maybe someone at Epona Quest, maybe it was, Linda's assistant Sue. I don't remember. she said, oh, yeah, but you can attend some training programs in Europe if you want to start first and to test, because I had no idea that I would like it, and it was also quite expensive. But if you want to progress, I think you need to invest in yourself. So I decided to do that, and I started like 2 years ago with the Now program in the UK, and I said, this is so nice. I loved it, really, I loved it. So I just continued.
And how do you think that kind of work with the horses is helpful in business in particular?
It's extremely useful in dealing with groups and teams, and how to make the teams more cohesive and moving more fluidly in the right direction. In our company, we had a lot of, gossips, worse than in a multinational, actually. Because some of our manager were actually, having some kind of tyrannic attitudes. And so they were creating a kind of fear environment or mistrust environment. And so people would also stand in competition against each other. And at the beginning, I was like that also. So I was not noticing that, you know, what exactly happened. But when I understand that, you know, what it is about, fostering cooperation rather than competition, the attitude of I am this, I am better than you, not shaming people anymore, you know, being positive, and how to move through blocks as well when people are resistant and are not motivated, how to gain trust. I mean, I had already some coaching tools from before, and so the horses work actually enriched that quite a lot. And also, I must say, I had a tremendous conflict situation last year in the company, and without this work, I'm not sure that I mean, it had such an impact on the work. I had such an impact on, you know, transforming myself, making shifts, that finally I got through it in a much, more peaceful way, because it was, it's very powerful.
That's amazing. So has there been anyone along the way in your very intriguing and amazing journey that's really inspired you?
Is there anyone? There are many people who actually inspired me. I am inspired. I am taking inspiration from almost anyone.
That's great. I love that answer.
Because I think everyone has, some qualities to offer and to be admired from. Well, so that is the nice answer, you know. Of course, sometimes it's not that easy to see all those qualities in other people. Sometimes they provoke some resistance in yourself. And so the challenge is really to how to, you can go out of that. It is called projection and whatever. And how can you shift that and accept your vulnerability and go through it? Actually, to see the quality and just be inspired by that quality. And say, if, for instance, I had, because of my competitive education, I had like sometimes jealousy for people. And so I said, okay, but jealousy, now it means, what is the thing I could cultivate for myself that I could, so maybe I would like to have that quality. So look at it closely and what can you do to build it?
Do you think stepping into a leadership role in your career helped you kind of change that mindset?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a turning point?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I think probably even very young, as a young person, as a child, actually, I was already a kind of boss, a bossy kind of character, But then I went, when I was around 12 and so, I was very shy. I became suddenly very shy as a person. And all my work, growing my leadership position has helped me quite a lot. And taking over that and risk that entrepreneurial step, which was actually quite a challenge, also meant that I had no choice. I had to step into my leadership if I wanted to succeed, and I like to succeed. So.
So what do you think is the biggest challenge for you to be able to follow your heart in your life?
That's easy to answer. it's really stepping into my vulnerability and especially understand where my thinking brain is taking over or my instinct is taking over. And I have sometimes some difficulties to trust my intuitions, and I think it's not a good thing that if I don't trust my intuitions, I believe that my thinking brain has really to support my intuitions, but sometimes it just sabotage it.
Yeah.
So that's and I think a lot. I think too much even. And to me, it's difficult to move fluidly between. Yeah, no, it's much better actually. I move between this feminine and masculine part much better. I become really fluid.
And when you say feminine, masculine, are you referring to certain character or quality traits?
Yeah, I mean, it's when I talk about feminine qualities, it's really mostly about intuitions and, sensing and emotions and opening and openness, while the masculine qualities would be for me like more the strength, the willingness, the structure, thinking, rational.
And so, they're both necessary, right?
Yeah, they are, absolutely, especially if you want to build a business. They are absolutely necessary.
Yeah, and in every aspect of life, really.
Yeah, sure, of course, of course.
And that's so hard to do. I mean, I think any human being struggles with that, and the fact that you're paying attention to it in your own life and really moving through the challenges to the best of your ability and bringing more and more awareness and tolerance for that vulnerability. That's amazing.
I think my challenge also is to be tolerant for myself, because I am very hard on myself, and that's a big challenge for me.
Yeah, I can understand that one. For sure.
Yeah, so that's, yeah.
Have there been people or forces in your life that really tried to steer you off the course that was what your heart wanted?
Oof, many.
How did you handle that?
The first one was my father. But I was not aware of it until much later, so it was okay. Then, you know, when it happened later, well, first of all, you know, in this American bank situation, they wanted me to stay after these many restructurings, and I did not want, because the job they were actually proposing to me at that time was a change, and I didn't like it. It was like, I didn't like it, and so they wanted me to leave. And I held my ground. I held my ground, but it is sometimes very painful because I am probably someone who does not let go that easily, and sometimes it's too much, maybe. But well, this was positive in the end because I got this money to start my own business, and even in my own business, I had to be very, very. Paying attention because people, any kind of people, even very charming people with no negative intention, they would try to drag you on another path. And if you don't pay attention, or if you are weaker for any reason because you're tired, whatever, it can, you know, move very subtly and you can deviate from your path. And that happened actually many times in my company.
Yeah, it can be easy to do, get swept up in someone else's vision.
Yeah, very, very much so. So you have to pay a lot of attention.
Yeah.
It's very difficult. I mean, it's probably like when you have to then handle many tasks and you want to and you need to manage your diary. You know, not to be overwhelmed by all kinds of requests from many people who try to distract you from your path. I mean, it's almost the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And usually what is difficult is that it's not so obvious. And that's why I think that I was barely, you know, thinking back, actually, two times I was very close to burnout because I would work and like in a, you know, in a boat, trying to move the boat against the current, against the flow sometime.
That's a relatable visual.
Yeah.
So how do you see the Epona Quest work fitting into your life in the future?
Well, I see it very well because first it helped me to clarify some difficult, this conflict situation I was talking about earlier in my company. And it's now moving in the right direction. And we will know in a little while, not too long, we will see. Maybe you'll have some more news later. And also, I've started a new business, a new project, which is a leadership academy, where it's completely based on Epona Quest work. And actually, the website has been put online like recently, 2 days ago, more or less.
And what's the URL?
The URL is Sense and Connect, in one word, Sense, Sense, and Connect, city.org. And it's we will host a conference in Belgium to launch the project. Hopefully it will be a success. It's very soon, end of June. And I hope to take Linda's work and which is corresponding to my vision, of course, because I will certainly adapt this work from my own perspective. But it's very much in tune, I would say, and I hope to take this work back to the world in order to help people to build their social intelligence. And authentic leadership.
Fantastic. I wish I could be there in June.
Thank you, Carmen. Yeah, it would be nice. I like if we had a big bridge between Canada and Belgium. Maybe yeah. We have a virtual bridge.
Huh? There we go.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners before we conclude our interview?
No, I think the only thing is trust your heart.
Yeah.
Not easy. Step into vulnerability, not easy either, but that's the way to go, I'm sure. This is certainly my own belief.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Karine.
And thank you to you, Carmen, for giving this opportunity to me. That was
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely. And thank you to all our listeners. Till next time.
Thank you to everyone, too. Thank you.
Till next time on My Horse Heart. Yeah.